For all of our bonus episodes and premium content, become a member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. You can also find us on social media. On Twitter, we're at whatcrappens. On Instagram and Facebook, at watchwhatcrappens. We'll see you there. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors, Kelly Grant, Cindy Burgess Gerson,
Just Saying,
Kelly Barlow, and Christy Dougherty. We love you girls! Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap we love to talk about on Bravo. I'm Ronnie Karam from the Rose Pricks Bachelor in Paradise podcast, and here I am with my gorgeous, very busy, working very hard friend, Mr. Ben Mandelker of the B-Side Blog and the Banter Blender podcast. Hello, my little Ben.
Hello, hello, hello. We are one day away from the big shoe here in Los Angeles. It's finally happening. It's Big Show Eve.
We are so excited.
Can you believe it? Can you believe it, girls? We're having a live show tomorrow.
And then we're having a big scavenger hunt. So we're going to have a great, fun weekend. And Monday, we're going to sound, you know, like, and then the shots of sunset. Asa is pregnant, everybody.
I have a feeling, you know, we should just, well, we'll figure it out. I don't know. Like, I just realized, like, Monday's a national holiday.
Oh, it is?
It's Labor Day.
Oh, well, let's just skip Shaw's. We'll have the live show to post Monday.
Yeah, we'll post the live show on Monday. Well, it might work out well because New York isn't on next week. It's off, but then Below Deck comes back next week. We'll figure it out. Yeah, I mean, so there will definitely be content up on Monday, but this way we don't have to, we can take like a day off after all this craziness with this live show. And then you guys get some time off from us promoting it. Isn't that nice?
I know you guys are going to get like 5 minutes of your life back at the beginning of each show.
I know. It's like when football season ends and your Sundays come back. I don't know if you know about that experience is like, but it's like a very real potent thing.
I don't, but I remember when Murder, She Wrote was canceled, that was on Sundays. And I was just sitting at my meemaw's house like, now what? Like, I literally had nothing to do. I was so upset.
My fantasy football draft is tomorrow, and I'm very excited for it. I've not done any research, but I'm hoping this year will be a strong one for my fantasy team.
Yeah, last weekend in Vegas, there was the fight, like the big fight between so-and-so and whoever.
Yeah, homophobe one and homophobe two, yes.
Oh, really?
Actually, I don't know anything about this McGregor guy, but I do know that, like, Floyd Mayweather is, I think he's a homophobe. You know what? I'll walk that back because I don't know for sure if he's a homophobe. I think maybe he's not. I can't tell. It's hard to remember. He definitely has beaten his wife, though. So there's that.
Well, I feel like you can't be a homophobe if your name is Mayweather because that's like such a gay name, you know? That's like a gay character name, Mayweather.
That is intrinsically a homophobic comment that you made. And you're gay.
Oh, it is?
Well,
it's pro-homo. It's pro-homo. I'm complimenting him.
I am. I'm okay. Good.
Yeah. And one of them, I was at a mall and they were getting their robe diamond, like diamonds on their robe, a diamond skull or something. And I was like, wow. I mean, you can't be homophobic if you have like a diamond robe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyway, I was there and I had no idea what was going on and people were explaining to me why it's such a huge deal. And I put some money down and I lost.
Yeah. I played board games last Saturday night and I missed the entire fight and I did not feel bad about it one iota. I feel like the last time there was a major fight like that was the night that you and I and Sylvia went and saw Avengers 2, Age of Ultron, and there was a big Mayweather fight that night also, and we went to that movie, and the movie was terrible, and then I just remember we went to that restaurant next door afterwards and looked at highlights of the fight.
Well, boxing just makes me feel like I'm not even a human. I don't get it. It makes me feel uncomfortable. I'm like, why are we hurting each other like that?
Yeah.
I don't like it.
My college essay, the essay I wrote to get into college, was all about going to a boxing match and getting caught in a riot at the match.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So I am like, I'm indebted to boxing for helping me get into college.
Oh, my God. I want to be a part of a riot.
Yeah. I also have a very, very specific story about a time I encountered Evander Holyfield, but I can save that for a bonus episode.
Yeah, because this is an intense episode. So if you see any way to just slide into that, just feel free. You know, I'm going to talk about the Marilyn Monroe machine that fucked me over. Yeah, I've got a lot to segue into to get the fuck out of this, because it's the same thing over and over, and it is dark.
This episode of Real Housewives of New Zealand.
Auckland.
Auckland, specifically Auckland. This is going to be an interesting one to recap, because it really went to in a direction that none of these other housewives or any Bravo shows has really ever gone to. I mean, this was very, very intense, and it's weird. I mean, it's going to be interesting for us to recap it, because, you know, there are ways in to find comedy in this horrific situation, but it was also really, really terrible.
I did Malz's Lifetime podcast once, and it was about the Mary Kay Letourneau thing. And I'm like, we're going to be making child rape jokes. And it ended up becoming serious. But I remember at the beginning, she's like, if this is going to trigger you. And I was like, oh, I hate that word. I hate it. But there you go. If it's going to trigger you, please turn it off now, because I think everybody can relate, because especially as, you know, white privileged males, this isn't really a rare thing that happened. And it wasn't.
That's what was so sad.
It wasn't really a mean-spirited thing that happened. And so we all know that that's out there. And it's like, oish. It's like you think of people that you know where you've heard that shit before. And it's like, oh, my God.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what made this episode so crazy, was that it just was a perfect example of something that probably happens to millions of people around the world. And that's actually one thing that was really surprising to me, which may sound totally naive and, you know, very like sheltered white boy. But, you know, for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, this is the famous episode of Auckland where Julia uses the N-word and says it right in front of Michelle's face. Michelle, if you're not watching, Michelle's black. So it doesn't even matter if Michelle is black or not. It's totally unacceptable, but it makes it almost even worse, right? So so what was surprising to me is I sort of always thought, and I never really thought about it, but I feel like I had an underlying assumption that this was sort of a more of an American,
Overseas, people are like, we don't have racism the same as you guys. Like, you guys have it different because, like slavery and stuff.
Or I just figured it'd be different words. I just thought that I almost thought it was like a word that people in different countries didn't really know, you know, or use like that, you know. So it was weird to hear it in New Zealand being used in the same way that we've heard it hatefully here in America.
Yes. Well, all that said, this is not a very special episode. This is still a funny, fucking ridiculous show.
There's still lots of ridiculous stuff, but it was almost one of those things like, we still have to... Just a warning, we have to tread very carefully as we recap this.
Oh, yes, because my opinion keeps changing as I watch it, because, you know, and then I have to rethink my opinion because I'm like, well, that's ignorant, too. So, yeah, it's going to be a lot of that. But there's also going to be a lot of making fun of, you know, cuckoo birds on Auckland. Right. So.
And you would never know that the episode was going to, like, take such a turn so quickly, like within the first 4 minutes, because it opens up with the woman getting onto a boat and the music being like, mama, eh, eh, mama, eh, mama, eh, eh. I was like, oh, okay, this feels festive for the N-word episode.
I wrote na, 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 eh, eh, times three. I love that we both recognize that music. It's like, what is this? Like, na, 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 na. It's like their version of like, okay, na, na.
I go.
Yeah. It's like the N-word. Okay.
So Gilda's excited. She's so excited that she says, I want to get under, have a glass of champagne, lay in sun, enjoy Australian heat. I was like, okay, well, your enthusiasm is just really bursting through the TV.
I know. I like when she goes, enjoy the Australian water. Like, she's trying to come up with something to say.
I also love the dumb things that some of these women just declare as if it's fascinating for the people at home. Like when they cut to Julia going, I absolutely love boats.
I love water. And Anne's like, champagne. But it's funny how they narrate every little thing on this. They're like, we're going on a boat today. I love boats. I love water.
Next, we got onto a beautiful boat. Like, yes, we see you on the boat.
We were all wearing high heels. Yes. We see the close-up of the high heels. This show is shot very well, by the way.
It is shot very well, yeah. And especially considering this entire vacation has been overcast, they've done a nice job of trying to making it look sort of like pretty and luxurious.
Yeah, it's like a steak ad in a casino. It really is, where they're like, look, they're like, it's a cheesecake factory. And you're like, oh. How glamorous.
So Louise and Anne are on some deck and they're cheersing each other toasting each other, and like, cheers, cheers. Like, you're a great roommate. We do make each other laugh, don't we?
I titled this scene Louise Theater because she's doing a play. She's totally acting in a play. And I love that they give the backstory. We're roommates, aren't we? It's wonderful. And I was like, oh, good. She's playing Miss Marple today. And Anne's like, clink, I love champagne. It's like, okay, that's your backstory. Yeah. She's like, we do make each other laugh, old friend. It's like, okay, guys.
And then she's like, and then she starts talking about some of the issues with Angela and everything. And Louise is like, I'm hoping that all the sort of argy-bargy that we've had to put up with is over. I'm like, ugh. I know, enough with the argy-bargy already.
And she had a whole monologue. She's like, I'm very nervous that the girls, Gilda and What's-A-Face, might have problems, or Michelle, or the other lady who's going to be on this trip, or the other lady and the other lady. We shall see over breakfast, or lunch, or another scene that shall change once our chairs are rolled out of the way by young men not getting paid in black shirts and black pants. It's like, okay, Miss Marple.
Too much argy-bargy, am I right? Now let's clink champagne. Oh my god, it's a shark head.
This play is called Argy-Bargy. And she was being so fake when she said that shark thing. She's like, is that a shark? And just ignores her. She's like,
no, whatever.
What do you see
out
there?
That's not a nice thing to say about Angela. What do you see? Is it an alligator, a cheetah, a griffin, a mouse, a pizza, a dog? A cat. It's like, no,
it's a whale. It's Moby Dick.
Moby Dick, you say? You know what I call Moby Dick? I call him young Theobald of the restless nature. He's a wonderful whale. We miss him greatly.
I call Moby Dick the opposite of Moby Pussy, which I would love.
Moby Pussy. So meanwhile, out on another sun deck, Michelle, Gilda, and Julia are just hanging out, having a great time. But you know what's a really good way to ruin a good time on a lounger?
What?
Dropping the N-word.
Oh, my God. And we didn't see this, which was weird. But we should have known it was coming. Well, we did, because people told us on Facebook. But we should have known it was coming right now, because they're playing some girl power song from Ladies of London. It's like, girls, 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 lovely time, girls. And Michelle's like, we were all having a perfect day. A lovely time. Happiness. Friendships. I had a turban. We were sitting on the hood of the boat thing. We were having champagne. The boat was on water. The sun was out. We could hear the engine running from the boat. It's like, oh my God, just get to it. And then she goes, then it all went to custard.
I'm like, that sounds delicious. What's wrong with that?
No kidding. Shannon's like having a fit.
Apparently, so Michelle was helping Gilda get onto this like sun lounger thing, and Julia cracked a joke, and she said, "Don't treat Michelle." She said this to Gilda, "Don't treat Michelle like your house N-word," which, you know, maybe you gotta like work on your material. You know, maybe you haven't seen Michael Richards' comedy routine lately, but it's not a word that really plays well.
I don't feel like anybody expected Kramer from Seinfeld to end up well. Like, he never really had that hope. Like, Kramer, he's going to do great. But I didn't see it going down like that. You know?
No. Yeah, exactly. And I did not know that Julia would be following in his footsteps. So she makes this, like, really terrible joke, you know?
And then you hear the housewives warning signal, which is boom, just that single drum.
And then it cuts to, so Michelle tells us this in her interview, and then it cuts to Julia in her interview, and she just sort of sighs. She goes like, well, Michelle was helping Gilda onto the sun lounger when I made a terrible joke. I said something to Gilda about Michelle not being a boat inward, but it came out wrong. I'm like, what? What? How does that come out right?
I don't know if it was the tone that I said it, or that I said it outside, or that we were on a boat. I still don't understand what I did, but it must have been bad. I like that they were doing these monologues, because Michelle had a whole monologue, and then she has a whole monologue. It's like this whole Law and Order thing, like each suspect gets there.
But the crazy thing is that Julia says it came out wrong. Yeah, it came out wrong because it came out ever in the first place.
Yes, and Julia's apologies are all like that. It's like, I'm sorry that I used a word that is used every day in old boating terms. It's like, oh, God.
Yeah, she goes, it's an old boating term. I should never have said it. I'm like, what? What do you, I've literally never. And of course, I am not the nautical genius that Julia is, the lover of the sea that she is. But I have never heard that. And if I had, even like, and I'm not saying it's not there because it probably is there. But just because it's old doesn't mean it's therefore acceptable to say.
She's like, well, can I still say dram the fig? That's when you put down the anchor.
Oh, my God.
Does anybody have a new boating rule book?
I don't know the definitions of these things. I think what was really fascinating about this episode, and which I actually think was helpful about this episode, too, is that she really was a great example of, like, when white people do this shit. You know, the way she apologized, seeing how she did it wrong, you know, there are a lot of people who don't realize, like, they realize they've said something wrong, but they don't know the proper way to be contrite about it. And Julia is an example of what not to do.
Yes.
And everyone should look at this and see it.
Like, she just figures, well, other people have said it, and nobody yelled at them. And not thinking like, well, it was a white boat with white people on it, on white water, under a white sky. It's like, oh my God, eating crackers.
You know, in a very perverse way, I mean, I do see what she's going for with the joke. It's sort of like what Bill Maher did when he made his joke a few months ago. Like, we see what the joke is, but sorry, it's like, it's just too tasteless. And like, there's just, you can't, it's just, not all jokes need to be made, you know? Just listen to our podcast.
I don't even
listen to all our jokes.
Yeah, exactly.
Half of them don't deserve to be on the show.
Do you remember when Don Imus got in trouble for saying, like, nappy-headed hoes, and he said the N-word or something and went on? And
well, he didn't say the N-word, but he said the nappy-headed hoes about, like, a college basketball team.
Right. So I'm in the bathroom at Cracker Barrel. I was visiting Texas. I was in New Braunfels. So I was in the Cracker Barrel, and when you're peeing, they have newspaper things and frames for you to read. And so I'm peeing and reading the thing, and it was that. And the guy next to me goes, and he's an old guy. He's probably like in his, you know, late 60s or mid to late 60s. He goes, when did it become a crime to call an N-word an N-word? But he said the word, you know? And I was like, whoa. I was like, you can't do that. You know, like, you can't do that. You should not ever say that.
Yeah, because like,
hello.
And by the way, the reason why you shouldn't say it is because it is so incredibly hurtful to, like, every black person. It's so mean, it is so cruel, and if you can't understand that, then, like, you have to just really look inside yourself.
My point in telling that story is that people who are older and from a different generation, things have changed so fast, and things have changed for even us, like gays, so quickly that some people are just like, what? Like, they don't even get it. You know, like, I remember recently I said tranny. Well, not recently, but like last year I said tranny, which was a term everybody used. And somebody said, you can't say that anymore because it's offensive to transgender people. And I was like, but it's not about transgender people. It's about transsexual, you know, drag queens and stuff. And they're like, no, you can't use that. And I've been to a couple drag shows since then, like a lot, and they joke about it too. Like, well, we can't say that anymore. You know, it's like caused a rift. But our generation grew up with that kind of sensitivity, which is good. you know.
Yeah, I actually think it's good. I think that when people get mad about, like, oh, you can't say this anymore, it's like, oh, you used to be able to say this and now you suddenly can't say it anymore. It's like, well, yeah, because and my reasoning of it is, you know, when a lady gets married and she changes her last name, if you call her by her previous name, they get mad. So they'll get mad. They're like, no, that's not my name anymore. Well, they may not get mad. But the point is this, everyone here in this, when I say here, I mean the world, you know, people are fine with changing names. People are fine to call it, if someone changes their name, they'll say their new name. If someone changes their last name, they'll say their last name. If someone graduates from a program and becomes a PhD and now wants to be called Dr. So-and-so, people are fine calling someone Dr. So-and-so instead of Mr. So-and-so. So why is it so hard if a group of people say, you know what, this word, it actually really offends us now and we prefer not to be called that. Could you like not call us that anymore? Why do people say, oh, suddenly, oh, I can't keep up. Oh my God, always got to change it. It's like, they don't want to be, if someone doesn't want to be called that, don't call them that. It's that simple.
Yeah. Or, you know, like faggot. Like we say that word. I say that word.
I hear
people who aren't gay say that. And they're like, what's the difference? Well, it's a difference because I wasn't brought here, you know. Like, it's a difference because I wasn't kept out of schools and had to use separate bathrooms and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
There is a difference, you know? Like, even if you don't realize it at first, you have to think a little bit more strongly. Like, if you just want to think that everybody's being a big crybaby, then that's fine. Everybody has the right to feel things, you know, and say that they're fucking offended. And it's the first time that we've really been allowed to do that, to be like, I'm offended. And it's not just Black people or gay people. It's everybody. It's
everyone's like a crybaby, and they should be.
Yes, because we're new. It's very new in our culture where we can just say, this is how I feel, you know, and I'm pissed. Yeah. And we're all on the internet now, and so we're used to reading each other's unfiltered opinions. And we're like, I mean, I'm so into the internet because I'm like, oh my God. Like, seeing what people still find it totally acceptable to say, and the ways that people can act on the internet, those are people you're seeing in real life. Like, we all like to think, oh, it's just some made-up name. No, it's not. It's people who've learned to shut up in real life, but that's what's really going on, you know?
Yeah. The point is, if a group of people finds a word offensive because it brings with it associations of being discriminated, it brings with associations of violence, associations of many terrible things, then, like, is it really that hard to use a different word? It's really not that hard. We are perfectly fine to use different words in all other parts of life. Why can't we do it with this sort of stuff?
Well, the C word, you know, and I hate sounding luxury. I hate it. And I do get like that when I'm, like, Ronnie explaining. But I had to learn it. You know, my mouth, I just say anything, and I like to offend people. I was saying the C word for years.
Yeah.
Not even realizing it was that bad. I knew it was a bad word, but I didn't realize it was that bad until people were like, I love you, but you have to understand that is really, really offensive.
Yeah.
You know, that's like the lowest word you can call a woman. And it hurts my feelings when I hear you say it, because it's like you don't have respect for me. And now I'm mortified when I hear that word come out of my mouth. I'm like, oh, my God. You know? So,
yeah. Language. You know what? Here's the thing. Also, language changes. In terms of its meaning and its associations and connotations, and a word may be totally benign at one point of time in history, but it changes, and like, just get over it and change with it, you know, people.
Well, my first thought when we found out what it was, because there's been a lot of buildup, and so when I found out that she said it like that, kind of what she thinks is a joke, I wrote LOL, because I mean, of course it's Julia. And I wrote, she's the whitest person in the world. You know, she's older. She probably has never known a Black person before. And I just, but no one's really shocked, are they? It's like, you know, well, you have to train a puppy.
Yeah. Well, the thing is this, you know, part of the reason that part of the thing that was sort of like crazy about this whole situation was that there's also a way when, if you have told a joke that went too far. And that's actually like one of my fears with this podcast. Sometimes we get so into like making jokes. I'm always afraid that I've gone one step too far and said something really like way too below the belt, that even though it was a joke, you know, it was too tasteless and I'm going to like screw up everything, you know, like that's, and that can happen. You know, sometimes the the impulse to want to make a joke and go for the low-hanging fruit because you can see the setup, you see the punchline, and you're not thinking about, is this tasteless, is it not? You just, it's like a good setup and punchline. You see it right there because there's like a math, there's a science to a joke, you know? And sometimes that science can be like indiscriminate about who it's going to offend. And so sometimes we've all done it. We've taken a joke too far, said something too far, and it's pissed off someone. And if that's happened to me, I feel like terrible. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I was trying to make a joke. It came out wrong. And like, I won't even say it came out wrong, but like, I shouldn't have said it. Like this was like, I'm so sorry. Like I feel like that's what the response should always be. Like, an, oh my God, I'm mortified. I'm so sorry. Are you okay? What can I do? Like, I'll never do that, you know? But Julia was not like that.
I do. Well, I use shitty, you know, snarky, sarcastic jokes as self-defense. You know, like psychologically, I understand why I do what I do and where it comes from and that it's not from a good place. Like, I get that about myself because I've kind of been confronted with my own voice doing this. Mm-hmm. And I've kind of like tried to maybe tame it a little, but mostly I can't because it's just my personality. But just that she would even think that that is a joke. Like, yeah. I've never said anything like that as a joke. And that word is tricky for older people or a lot of everybody. It's tricky for a lot of people because you hear it so much. You hear it in modern music. You mm-hmm. hear it all the time. But right. It's like, you know, saying faggot or whatever. Yeah. A gay guy saying it is a little, you know, you can without people right. yelling at you, even though some people don't like it. But people get it. But this one you hear all the time. And so they're like, well, why can they say it? And why can't I say it? And why is one word okay for them and it's not okay for us? Because that's a very specific experience.
Yeah.
You know?
And when it's come from the mouths of white people, it's come with associations of everything I was saying before, hate and violence and discrimination. When it, you know, like the classic comparison is, you know, you can make jokes about like your family, like, oh, my mom is always like this. My mom's always hounding me. And if I were to be like, yeah, your mom is a bitch, you'd be like, wait a second. You know, it's like,
yeah, exactly.
The perspective of like context of where the words are coming from and who's saying them and who's receiving them. It all matters. It just, language does not exist in a vacuum where everyone who says the words, it all has the same meaning and associations. Words have specific definitions in dictionaries, but they have connotations that are very deep and complex. And it's just one of those things, like, we can't say the N-word, and that's fine. And by the way, why do you want to say the N-word? But the thing is...
Well, we all can remember the time when we learned that you can't just say the N-word. I mean, one time I was with friends, I was like 23 doing a musical, and one of my best friends at the time was a musical director, Dennis, this black dude. And I was singing a Missy Elliott song, and I was, because I loved her, like I listened to her every day, and I said, N-word, please. And they were like, Ronnie, really? And this was almost 20 years ago. Like, this was 19 years ago. And they were like, really? And I was like, what? It's just in the song. It doesn't mean the same thing when you're like singing a song. And they were like,
right.
That's what yeah, it does.
Did. Yeah.
They were like, yeah, it does. Now, granted, that was 19 years ago. But
I think the reason why, I mean, it that's always an interesting gray area, right? If you're just merely reciting lyrics, it's no big deal. But I think at this point,
it was a big deal. It was huge.
Right. White people have misused the N-word, not even misused, but like white people have used the N-word in such hateful, nasty, vile ways. And they continue to, that even if you're merely repeating a lyric, it's just like we've lost the right to say it in like the context of like quoting something. And I'm fine with that. But
we weren't born in that time. We weren't, you know, like I learned things from like Hidden Figures. I watched that on a plane and I was like, that is not that long ago.
Using the N-word, it was like, look at Charlottesville 2 weeks ago. It's not like it was in the past tense. It's present tense. It's still happening all the time.
Well, what were you going to say? I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, when I first learned about the word, because of course that's what's most important. When did the white people learn? But when I first learned, I truly had never even heard the word. It was fifth grade. And it was before classes had begun. It was like I was in homeroom with my friend Risa Chase, who's half black, and there was a globe, and we were playing this game that you spin the globe and you put your finger down, and wherever your finger lands is where you're gonna live when you grow up. So I spin the globe and I land a Niger, and I had no idea how to pronounce it, and I pronounced it the exact wrong way. And of course, I pronounced it the wrong way to like the one black girl in my class. And everyone was like, oh my God, Ben, I can't believe you said that. I was like, what? What did I say? I think I even said it again because I was like, it's the country. And they're like, no, Ben. And it was like, it's a miracle that she didn't seem to get upset and like I didn't get in trouble. No one got in trouble. But I literally had no idea. And I, of course, I said it to a black girl. And it's like it stayed with me all these years because I was like, how? What are the odds? What are the odds?
Yeah. I mean, if you can get me paranoid like that, like we're paranoid about being insensitive like that, that's a great feat. Like, that's a bad word. If you can make me like, oh my God. Because I'm even aware of right now sounding like Ronnie Splaining and also sounding like Julia sounds later where she's like, well, I'm not racist at all. I have black friends. You know, it's like, of course, you know.
Well, but the thing is also, one other thing before we start getting back into the recap, another thing about making a joke like that is with any comedy that you do, you always have to know your audience and you have to know who you're speaking to, which is why when someone makes a really tasteless joke on like The View, let's say, they'll get like a whole bunch of backlash as opposed to a tasteless joke on maybe a podcast or with a group of friends, because if you know the whole group and they know you and they know your intentions or whatever, like if you make a bad joke, they'll clock you for it and you move on, or they may laugh, you know. But when someone doesn't know who you are, you don't know who they are, things get misinterpreted. Not that there was any misinterpretation in this case, but the point is, if Julia was going to make a joke with the N-word, she needed to be so close with Michelle. She needed to be so close, and like this had to have been like an ongoing joke that they had about the N-word, even. Like and even then, it probably still wouldn't work. But the point is, when you are just like new friends and you're on TV, girl.
Well, like I said earlier, every white person has that time where they learn that it's a bad one. This one is extremely dramatically violent, like verbally violent. I mean, it starts where she's like, what word did you just say to me? I'm wearing a turban. I'm like, how dare you? She's like, you don't even say that as a joke, baby.
And then Julia's...
Whenever someone says baby in a turban, I'm like, yes, bitch. It's like someone from the 50s, you know, like never even as a joke, baby.
Yeah. Well, that's a great time to have a turban on, because when you're wearing a turban and you're a lady, it means you're ready to, no one's going to mess with you.
Yes.
But here's where Julia's first, or I should say her second misstep is that now Michelle is like, don't say that word. And Julia just smiles and goes, sorry. I'm like, oh my God.
Well, Julia would smile if she was like at a location where there was a terrorist attack. Like she really just does have that crazy nervous smile. But she was like, you're right. Like, not taking it as that big of a deal. Like, oh, hoo-hoo, I'm so naughty. And Michelle just started getting mad. And at first I thought, okay, she's just going to yell at her. And then this will be a fight for some other dinner party where she's really let it build up or whatever. But nope. And then Julia's second mistake is going to Andrea. I mean, oh my
Angela.
God. Angela, sorry.
Yeah, because Michelle is shocked. Like the band, Michelle Shocked. She's shocked because no one's ever called her the N-word in all her life. And so she and Gilda are talking about it. And Gilda's starting to cry, which I felt was like not fake. I felt that was real. Because, you know, don't forget, Gilda's also a minority on this boat here. And so she's probably had to deal with discrimination in certain ways. So they are like upstairs and they're like fuming / emotional, etc. And downstairs, Julia is like goes up to Angela and she's like, oh, I have done something so stupid. Oh, I have to tell you, I just made the silliest comment upstairs. So, and even Angela's like, you have to apologize.
Angela, well, first, she's sitting there lounging in the lounge like she's being filmed in a movie. She's posing, you know? And then as she listens to the story, she does these different facial poses, like with her hands, like the fingers on the chin, like, mm-hmm. And then she, like, moves it to a cheek. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Like, well, she's so ridiculous.
She's very excited because this is her Iyanla moment. She's like, finally, it's happened. I can be the lifestylist I've always dreamed of being. All right, let me help you. And then she's
plus
like,
plus size now?
So she's like, I know that you would never have meant to say it how it seems. I'm like, there's only one way it could be said.
And she's condescending. Now, I know that you said that word, but it's not a nice word. It's like, oh my God, Leah didn't just crash your car, lady. You know, it's like some smile, like questioning. Oh, she's so condescending.
And then when she says, all you can do is apologize and be the bigger person, I was like, this rubs me the wrong way. I mean, I don't know, I won't totally clock her for this, but like the implication is that Michelle is being crazy and that it's up to Julia to be the bigger person. It's like, no, Michelle is, there's no way that you can be the bigger person in this situation, unless she's talking about be the bigger person for herself. Like you want to be petty right now, but be a bigger person and don't do that. But if
Angela,
she's saying
Angela just wants someone to be a bigger person, so she's not the only plus size model. I mean, that's really all she's trying to say. She read it on her own Instagram and she's just repeating it.
Oh, I just love the way Gilda's reactions. Like, oh, she's just a fucking idiot. That's it. She's an idiot.
Oh my
she's
God,
gone.
Gilda's so good. She's like, oh, so she didn't mean anything by it. What a stupid idiot.
No, she's just dumb. Idiot.
Now, this is where I started getting like, because Michelle starts getting so worked up that she is just like spitting mad now. Like, now she's just going fucking crazy and she's getting it in her head. She's like, she knew what she was saying when she said that to me. She knew what she was saying. Or is she thick? And she's like, extremely thick. She's thicker than Angela's granny panties. You know? And she's, Gilda's like, she's just dumb. She's just dumb. And she's like, no, she knew what she was saying. That's just her mentality, that she would think that that's okay, then that's a problem too, which is. But she's now making it, now she's just going crazy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. I feel like I get it. I would be mad too. I mean, also don't forget they were drinking. So they're all like a disaster. But so now Julia goes up and decides she wants to apologize, even though Angela had even said maybe now's not the right time.
Oh my God. Angela's downstairs like, you hurt her. You ruined her life. She might need to have her seasonal colors done now. It's an emergency caused by you. Someone's about to realize they're a fool.
So then Michelle just starts barking at Julia and is like, you think it was acceptable what you did? You think it was acceptable? And Julia's like, no, I don't. I'm very, very sorry about that. I was like, could you at least try to be more sincere?
Yeah, but she was also like kind of crying and terrified because she knew terrified. she was in like, so much trouble. Shit. And then Michelle comes down the stairs and there's like that plexiglass on the stairs. So it looks like she's behind one of those bulletproof walls or windows at the check cashing place. I'm like, this doesn't help. So now she's pissed and she's behind a bulletproof wall and Julia's just like shaking, you know, like,
by the way, I misspoke. This was not when Julia went up to apologize. This is when Gilda and Michelle were coming downstairs, as you described, and they saw Julia talking to Angela.
Yeah. So Julia says, no, it was completely unacceptable. And she's like, completely unacceptable. Did you just say completely unacceptable? Because she's just like going crazy. And she's like, you're an ignorant little bitch. I stood up for you with that gold digger comment. But you know what, honey? You are a gold digger. You were with a man for his money. And you're trash. Like just going on and on. I was like, oh, no.
So then Michelle goes downstairs with Gilda. And then Julia starts to bawl. And here's the other thing that really annoyed me. Did you notice this? Anytime that Julia was telling her story to Angela or someone else, she'd just be crying, bawling, sobbing. But then she'd see Michelle and it was like a stiff face. And it was like, I'm very sorry. I'm like, why don't you show? Believe it or not, I actually do believe she's sorry. I think she realized like, oh my God, I'm an idiot.
She was mortified.
But it's like, it was a strange thing that she really showed this, like, that she like cried in front of these women but then wouldn't cry in front of Michelle. And I'm not saying that like it's like, oh, she needs to be humiliated, but like it makes her look insincere, if you know what I'm saying, you know?
Yes.
Like show the real contrition to
well
to the
I took
hurt.
It as that she's probably got a little fear in her she's trying to act brave, and I think that she knows that she can't get her foot out of her mouth with this one. It's like she's not going to get forgiveness, you know what I mean?
That's true. I think you're right.
Yeah, especially when she sees like how pissed Michelle is now, and like Michelle's going off in a turban. I mean, turbans really are terrifying, you guys.
Yeah,
be yelled at by somebody in a turban and don't pee your pants. I dare you.
Angela's like, she's hot. She's real hot. She's steaming. I'm talking about the iron that Leah's using back at the villa. I hope she gets all her wrinkles out soon.
Leah is steaming, despite the fact the air conditioning's on and killing her slowly. I won't turn it off because I want to toughen her up.
So now is the time when Julia goes to apologize to Michelle. So she sits down.
Angela goes, "Do you want me to come with you?" "No, please. Please don't."
"I wrote a book about this. It's called So You Called a Black Person an N-Word." It's like a picture of her smiling, throwing leaves.
"Good news, you're a spring by Angela Stone." So Angela, when Julia leaves, Angela reposes, like, back to her posing mode. I mean, she really is a crazy robot lady.
She is. So now Julia goes to apologize, and Michelle is really livid. And here is another example where Julia has maybe a slight opportunity to turn things around, and she just decides she's going to just make it worse. Because then Michelle's like, "You're going to call me a house N-word?" And then Julia goes, "A boat N-word." But anyway.
Oh, my God. I learned what? Not to say house N-word a long time ago. I'm not a total ignoramus.
I mean, I think it's a much nicer term, you know, because I love boats, so I love a boat N-word. I mean, a house N-word.
Oh, my
N-word.
God.
It's like, no, Julia, no.
Well, slavery is still legal on the seas, isn't it? It's like, oh, Julia. Good Lord. My God.
You know, I love boats, so.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It was so, that moment was, like, shocking when she said that. And not only did that, she said it, but she said the full word again.
Like, yes, and now it's like, okay, so now everybody on a boat just says this all the time behind my back. You know, it's like now she is going to get her feelings hurt by anybody who's been on a boat and just laughed at that term. Yeah. You know, it's like she's just making it so much worse.
And it's almost like it's almost like she corrected Michelle almost as if to imply, like, no, what I said was actually not as bad as what you're saying. It's like, what?
Oh, my God.
Seriously.
But
so then,
since
Julia
it's Real Housewives of Auckland, they can still all drink champagne. They're like sitting down drinking champagne.
Yes. But now here's the classic thing. Now Julia starts getting mad that Michelle is yelling at her. Like, so it's like she's the victim here. And so Julia goes, "Oh, I didn't come up here so you can just yell at me like this because I didn't know what I was saying."
Yeah. And she's just also been totally told off and called a gold, like everything she's ever been insecure about, which I'm not saying Michelle didn't have the right to do that. But of course, that's how to stab Julia, you know. So now she's like, "Oh, my God, I said I'm sorry," and she won't even listen to me. And now she's being mean to me. And like she is kind of a victim in a way because she was just like totally eviscerated, even though she deserved it.
Yeah.
So now she's like upset and it's like, oh, my God, and Michelle will not take a sorry. She's like, I said I'm sorry. She's like, you think you're funny? You're not funny. She's like, well, it's my first time at the mic.
Because Julia's saying these things like, I didn't know what I was saying. And then, you know, Michelle's like, get you out of my face, because honestly I'm gonna throw you the fuck overboard. And then this was great because Michelle was like, oh, like, please, you know, you're sitting here saying you didn't know what you're saying, and yet you're able to clarify between like house N-word and boat N-word, and yet you still say you don't know what you're talking about. Please.
I know. It's like, oh, well, I had respect. At least I put you on a yacht. You know, it's like, oh, my God. Jesus. She's so stupid.
So
and
then
Michelle is like screaming herself raw at this point. Like, she's really screaming her guts out. And she's calling her a whore. I put calling her a whore, etc., because I couldn't write it all down. It was like pure rage flowing out. And threatens to throw off boat. And she's like, can I have the cracker buoy to hold on to until someone rescues me? Not better? Didn't make it better? Oh, I'm sorry. So Julia does start sobbing, sorry, sorry. And then Michelle throws champagne right in her eye, like hard.
It was... You know what, that champagne throw, it's weird. We've seen champagne thrown before, but this one, like, felt different to me. Because normally it's been, you know, whenever we see champagne thrown in someone's face and then someone throw the glass, because Michelle later on just, like, threw the glass at the floor. When we've seen that, it's been at the height of some petty bullshit. Like, Lisa Rinna throwing a glass, or
it's a toss.
Randy Glanville, or Tamara throwing red wine in Gina's face. It's in the context of something really petty, so it's funny. But this one... I felt like the hurt was so real. The hurt was so real. So when that wine was splashed on Julia's face and Julia's mortification was so real, you know, like she, you know, you could tell, like, even though, like, we are totally eviscerating her, you know, you could tell she felt terrible and, like, was just like, ugh. And to me, that splash was like, I am so hurt right now. And it was such a really mortifying moment for Julia, like really humiliating, that it just was like, ooh, this is really this is really a new low for this show.
Yeah,
you know?
It's like I'm
someone
not only
deeply, deeply humiliated, someone deeply, deeply hurt.
Yeah, it's like, you know, every husband before the wife goes on a housewife show is just like, don't make me look stupid. Like, I think that every husband has probably said that before shooting starts. And it's like, oh, good. Now I'm being called a total whore. And I said the N-word. Like, I've done everything to be embarrassed today. So yeah. She's sobbing. Then that champagne glass, it was hard. And it was like a power wash. It wasn't just a toss. It was like that girl's contacts probably fell out. Or so, you know? She probably got some champagne up in her, you know, eye juice or whatever's, you know, in the balls of your eye. And so she's terrified, basically. But I love when they keep cutting to her in the interview room. And she's like, well, it seems that I've caused a rift, which is totally my fault. And I hope that I can say sorry in the right words to make it okay. And then they cut back and they're like, coming up, Louise disapproves. It's like, oh, geez.
Yeah, because then Julia goes downstairs and she goes downstairs and is like crying to Angela. And then Anne and Louise come in because they've heard a ruckus, I imagine. And they hear what happens. What's great is that Louise and Anne don't even say anything nice or comforting. They're just like, they just sort of look at her with disapproving eyes. And then Louise tells us, she goes, I mean, the N-word is worse than the C-word. Back to your point, Ronnie. You got Louise on your side. I don't know why it made me so, like, there was nothing funny about what she said, but when she said it, I just thought it was hilarious. I don't know why.
And I love that they could still make it all about their snottiness. She's like, I don't know what Julia's education is. I don't know what her background is. But she runs at the mouth. It's like, poor person. Yeah. It's like, you have to forgive the poor person.
But Louise, I mean, she was on point. She was like, you know, for a white person to say it, even in jest, is unforgivable. I mean, black people can say it. Kanye can say it here and there. I was like, you know what Kanye is? Or who he is? That just sort of made me laugh that she referenced Kanye.
Oh, my God. And then Anne's like, well, we saw a whale. Champagne! So Louise is like, let's cut our losses. Just throw Julia to the shark. It's still following us. And it has been since it beat me the first time.
So then they go back to the Sheraton, and which is also kind of hilarious that they're staying in a Sheraton. I don't know why, but they're back at the Sheraton, and then Louise is hanging out with Anne and was like, well, up to the incident, we were having the best time, were we not?
Still narrating. She's like, for this scene, we shall be in bathrobes, but I'll do my hair straight with a part. I'm like, what? You got a new hairdo for this scene? Come on, Louise. She's like, it's the N-word scene. It's going to be a turning point.
I'm putting on my best Tylenol PM commercial seriousness face.
Michelle was too upset to loan me her turban. So I'll be using Felicia Gallant hair. So Anne's like, what can you do, some people? She's like, I said, she's like, I said that this morning. Oh, yeah. I was just like, Anne's not shocked at all. She's like, you never say that word in front of a black person. In front of a black lady, as she called her in the car.
She's like, I always knew I could wear a fur coat to my animal fundraiser charity because I knew that Julia would do something significantly stupider than I did.
So now,
Angela
that face
and Leo
is just exhausted from sobbing in vodka. I don't know what that means. But I did like that Louise is so tired from act one of her show that she's just letting her earrings do the work. She's wearing the big, you know, Linda Dano earrings, and she's just like, she's poor. The earrings are like, bam, bam, bam. Like, you go with your earring acting. I approve.
So then we go over to Angela over at her villa where Leah is ironing, and Angela's on FaceTime, and we get to see Angela's husband, and he looks so, so bored. And she's like, oh, husband. Good to see that you got to work now that we're one car down. It's okay, Leah. It's okay. Anyway, while you're at work, guess what happened? Someone said something that was so terrible. I can't even tell you on the phone, but you would be horrified. He's like,
This, I don't know why I haven't seen this before, but this is when I realized that Angela is basically Lisa Kudrow in The Comeback.
Yes,
because she even
so
has
true.
The exact same husband. He just looks at her like, ugh. All right, I'm going to sit here on this fucking phone, staring at her until she's done yammering at me, and then I'm going to fucking hang up because she's an idiot. And I knew that when I married her, and she needs to do this, and she's totally acting. I'm not going to look stupid. I will just stand here. Like, he doesn't say anything. And she tells us, I tried to explain to Kurt about the ladies. I think it's a little bit too much to explain over the phone. Because he's just staring at her like, can I go?
He's like... He's like, please, whatever you tell me, just remember I'm at work and this is on FaceTime and anyone can see it. So just don't say anything. He's like, did Julia say the N-word? How did you know? Because she's an idiot.
He's like, please don't put on the cupcake costume again. Okay, please. That's all I ask.
Also worth noting, Angela's phone has 4,000 unread emails and her wallpaper is, be someone who makes everybody feel like somebody.
Oh, God.
Be somebody that makes everybody feel like somebody.
Great. She's really, really an idiot. And I fucking love it. Like, she's got some kind of psychological issue. I'm not sure what it is, but she will kill somebody one day.
So meanwhile, back in the old lady house, Louise and Anne are, like, hanging out, and Anne's busting out a whole bunch of essential oils and vitamins, and Anne's like, how do you think I can look this good without having anything done, huh? And Louise's like, I rest my case. Yeah. Don't you think it's a crock?
It's a croc, a crocodile. Ma ha ha. And Anne's like just looking at her like, all right, this is going a little bit too far. Because Louise really is mean to Anne, you know.
She's so mean.
She's like, look at you sitting down on a chair that doesn't have wheels on it. I'm impressed. It's like, geez.
Is it strange for you to be sitting on a chair that's not rocking?
And Anne's like, oh, it's so wonderful how we can joke. Ah, ah, ah. But she's not laughing now. She's doing that serious look that she gets.
So, and then back at Angela's villa, Angela is making some crazy vitamin cocktail, which I thought at first was for her, but she's like, Aaliyah, how are you feeling? And she's like, je ne sais quoi, a bit cold because of, you know, the air conditioning, you know, so. And then Angela's like, oh, yes, yes. Well, you know, just because I'm on holiday doesn't mean the work stops. My brain actually needs attention 24/7. So have these vitamins, be safe.
And she crushes them up and puts them in a bowl. It's like she's giving her cereal. You know,
yeah.
It's like, here's your Adderall. I mean, your Fruity Pebbles.
Angela, my brain needs attention now.
The air conditioning has to be low, so my brain is cold enough to understand the snaps. The synapses need to snap against each other so I can make other people realize that they're people too. Unlike my car, which is a car, which has now crashed, which is not taking people anywhere. Not your fault, darling, even though it is.
Hey, Aaliyah, I have some vitamins. Vitamins will always keep you in chip-chop shape. Unfortunately, they don't work for cars. They've been destroyed by Leah's.
She's going to have to wheel poor Leah around on a dolly the rest of the time. She's like, only your ironing hands can move.
So for such a dark episode, who would have thought there would be such a hilarious interlude, which is when the women, save for Michelle and Gilda, they hop on a helicopter and fly over the rainforest and land at a place called Silky Oaks Lodge. And which is where there's supposed to be this yoga retreat thing, and all the women show up. They're all wearing like high heels and just walking through mud. There's like nice, beautiful high heels getting just sullied by the Australian earth.
Well, I'm glad we knew what was going on because every single one of them was like, we're in a helicopter. We're in a helicopter.
We're in a helicopter.
It's like, oh, we know.
Yeah. Even Louise was like, I put on a rather nice outfit, but then I had to change into yoga clothes. And they just show her in yoga clothes. I'm like, I think we probably could have figured that out by the transition.
It was done with yoga clothes in the Silky Oaks. So, yeah, they're Silky Oaks. This is so Angela. Like, if you see a Silky Oak, it's probably infested with some kind of bug.
I know.
It just sounds like a sick tree, you know?
Yeah. So, Angie, there's Angela and then there's Angie. So Angela is our Angela. And Angie is the woman who's running this yoga thing. And she's like, my name is Angie Queen. I'm an intuitive life and laughter coach.
Spiritual master, laughter master, yoga laughing master, laughing yoga master. There's the tree laugh pose. It's like a laughing master. You're fucking kidding me.
So is everybody ready to give themselves permission to laugh? Louise is already like glowering at her. I give myself no permission. I was on a game show where I was famous for not laughing at all.
You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
I'm sorry. Is this an acting workshop? I don't think so. Dropping the mic.
We're going to be working on your yogic laughing chakras. It's like, this lady. She's just making shit up. And I like that Anne is like, this is bullshit.
Anne does not approve, because the woman's like, now, how do you say hello in New Zealand, right? Hiya, 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 hiya. And then Anne's like, hiya? As if she thinks that's how we speak down in New Zealand. It really would have been more professional if she'd said, good afternoon, ladies.
Oh, we're just going to be racist for this entire episode.
So then it goes into this weird thing where Angie is like, hi, 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 hi. Hi, 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 hi. Konnichiwa, ha, 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 ha. Konnichiwa, ha, 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 ha.
Writing down that, what you just did in notes, looks so funny. It's like Lisa Rinna walking into a party. Hi! 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 How are you? That's why she's in touch with her laughter chakra.
How are you? You. And I like how the women are all just like staring at this woman like she's crazy, and Angela's already like, ha, 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 I'm already laughing. It's hilarious. Ha, 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 it's working.
Louise, Angela's friend is exactly what I expected. It just rolls her eyes. Poor person. Silky irks. Doesn't make sense. But it is like acting classes. You have to let yourself just be free, swallow your pride, and just do it. Do you think it was easy doing an oil change commercial after I was on primetime? No. But I did it. Oil, 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 oil. Jiffy, 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 jiffy.
Shell, 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 shell.
Stupid.
Beep, 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 beep.
Oh, and then it spilled. Oh, that was quite a thing to get over.
And I liked Anne when she cracked her joke, because Angie was like, get on your Yamaha, ha, 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 ha. And Anne goes, oh, what about your ha, 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 Harley, ha, ha, ha.
And everyone's like, ugh, Harley joke.
Yeah.
Like they're all mad. Sam, 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 bang!
Yes, 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 yes. So then we saw Gilda and Michelle walking along the beach, which was like nothing. They basically were like, Julia's still an idiot, still mad. Blah. Yes.
And we go back. Michelle's like, I can't talk to her for the rest of this trip. I need to recover and be alone in these stiletto high heels on a beach. And Gilda's like, I feel so much. She's stupid. And then we cut back to the laughter, and then the laughter lady's like, ha, 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 I see a darkness about you, Julia.
It's like, could you tell? Because she was about to cry the entire time, because she called someone the N-word a day ago.
She's just like, bape, 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 no, no. All right, maybe it's time to have this talk.
She's like, no, 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 we are not laughing about that, no, no.
I've been wanting to participate, finding something I can repeat over and over that doesn't have the word in it.
What about white pow, pow, pow? No, 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 no.
K, 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 K. It doesn't count when there's 12 of them. So she's like, I'm sensing a wave of emotion. What's blocking your laughs? And she's like, it is a wave of emotion. And Louise is like, I think she finally understood what she's done. Laughter is the best medicine, even for idiots. And so she's like, I said something bad to someone unintentionally, unintentionally. And Anne goes, she was, oh, I thought she goes, this was the this part where Anne, she said she's a dumb blonde.
Well, you know what? Actually, Anne said something that I thought was something that was on my mind a lot, because I felt like everyone was consoling Julia this episode. And Anne goes, oh, she was so hurt, as in Julia. She was so hurt. She was so shocked. What about poor Michelle? What about worrying about how Michelle's been affected by it? I'm like, yes. Thank you, Anne. Thank you for being a little woke there, Anne.
Yeah, I wonder how she felt about this when she saw the scene on TV of Michelle walking through her room, calling her an old lady and like making fun of every artifact in her house.
Bitch, 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 bitch.
So now, so champagne lunch. Okay, guys. Okay. You're all going to die early. Like, no one needs as much champagne, Sasha.
I know. So Julia has now had an about face because she did not like the yoga, but then she liked it a lot because she had that breakthrough. And Angie was like, it's nice to be taken seriously, and it's nice to be popular.
Who are you referring to? It's like... What are you talking about? Like, someone else got in trouble for saying the N-word, so now she's like a normal-sized model. Like, how her brain works is beyond cray-cray.
She's just happy because she knows she's not the bottom of the totem pole anymore. This is the happiest day for her. She's like, I'm not at the bottom anymore.
Oh, yeah, I'm not the base anymore. Now I'll crush the pyramid from the top, just like I always dreamt of doing in high school.
Yeah, so Angela is now like, I'm connecting with my base chakra. And Louise is just rolling her eyes. And then, so Angela's like, well, as I am the only official lifestylist here at the table, let me go talk about how we can heal from here. So she says, she starts saying things like, we don't condone Julia's comments at all. And going forward, you have to think before you speak and never, ever go there again because it's not acceptable. I'm like, Angela Yanla.
That's going to take 3 Instagram posts to write down, Angela. Like, when you are forced to sit at a table and be lectured to by Angela, you really fucked up.
Yes,
everyone hated it. Louise is like, I thought Chakra was a singer. I was actually excited to come here.
Well, I like, I think Louise actually, again, said, I think Louise seems very smart. And she says, this is going to be one of the great learning experiences of Julia's life. Possibly a definitive learning experience. I'm like, yeah, because she called someone the N-word on TV, and she will never, ever be able to hide away from that.
Also, it will define her forever. Like, yes. Someone will always bring up this clip in a fight, like, for the rest of her life. Like, in the old person home, she'll be like, I didn't get my orange juice this morning. They'll be like, you said the N-word, like, on TV. Okay? So, you can wait.
Yeah. So now
Julia
it's time
says,
for
well, look at me. I'm sorry you're right, Angela. I'm just a dumb blonde. And Anne goes, Julia called herself a dumb blonde. Well, she said it. And, like, no laugh. She just looks totally dead serious. Sorry, go ahead, babe.
No, I was gonna say that then so now it's like cocktail time. I thought it was like the next evening, but it may have been the next day. But so Gilda walks out and she's like, well, I haven't been able to be fully crazy this season yet, so here I am dressed like mermaid pirate.
Someone will make fun of this dress.
Yeah. They all walk out to cocktails by the beach, and they're all coming out one by one, like it's gonna be a great showdown. So Gilda looks crazy. She's wearing this like crazy blue and piratey thing. Her boobs are out. Julia is dressed in her finest leopard print bikini. You know, her giraffe walk is in full effect. And everyone just starts showing up and taking seats at these chaise lounges.
You see this pattern a lot in Africa. It's me trying to say sorry, bikini style. So I'm surprised that the producers of this show, because they even got like a drone shot. From above, of everything perfectly laid out. I mean, this episode really was beautiful. And they're all laying down. Why didn't they make Julia sit closer to Michelle? They were at complete opposite ends. And then they've got the mountain, Angela, sitting there. And she's like, isn't this lovely sitting in the sun? Which you probably don't feel lovely because of the mistake you made in the words you said. But sometimes you have to just say, I made a mistake and I'm sorry every day for the rest of your life until the sun burns you and roasts you and you die.
I think the producers didn't have them set next to each other because I think even they realized the gravitas of the situation. This was not some petty fight. This was like, this was really, really bad. And they're like, I think we should just separate them because otherwise it's going to just get too dark. So luckily we had Anne there because Anne was like, oh, Angela looked very nice. She had a nice bathing suit on to show off the plus size model figure she's got.
And then she started shitting out of her poopies.
And we cut to Angela, who's taken Julia to lie on the sand, but she put spray tanner on and it's leaking all over the upper part of her white bathing suit. So it's nice great. Not to be mocked. Now that I'm the one that everybody loves the most.
So there's just a huge amount of tension, and Michelle is basically like, I can't talk to Julia right now. We have to wait to go home. So then they go home, and we see Julia with her husband, and she apparently called him all like a lot after this. And she is saying, I'm feeling very, very sorry that I used that word for like the 10th time. I'm like, okay.
And then it cuts to her saying it in the interview room and then cuts back to her husband. I like that her husband, she's like, it was so nice to be, it was so lovely to be able to call you. And he's like, at all times of the night. Wait till you see your telephone bill. She's like, how could you think of a T-Mobile bill at a time like this?
But after speaking with Michael, I feel so much calmer. Like, calmer? Oh, calmer. Okay, got it. Calmer.
When she said, he's like, you've got to make an apology. Wait, what did she say? Oh, she says, words pop out of my mouth and I say stupid things. And he goes, yes. And she goes, why did you say yes? And he doesn't laugh. He's like, you need to do an apology, okay? Yeah. I have a business, bitch.
Yeah, exactly. So, and it was interesting. You could tell the producers really wanted to put this whole chapter to bed because it's just like too dark. It's too dark. So they kind of like rushed through it because then all of a sudden, Michelle and Gilda were at a cocktail party and Michelle's like, well, Julia's reached out. And Gilda's like, better late than never, right? And Michelle's like, oh, I just want to move on, okay? And then they're like talking to random people at the cocktail, be like at the cocktail party, be like, you'll never guess what this stupid white woman said to me. They're like, did she call you a boat N-word? Yes, how'd you know? We've had her wine before.
They were just saying to bring up the anchor. Gilda's like, Michelle says, I hope she does the right thing. And Gilda says, she's not the person who does the right thing. She's an idiot.
Gilda seems like an amazing friend. I just, you know, I love it. I love Gilda.
Yes, she's there for you no matter what. So far at least. We haven't seen Michelle fuck up yet. But she was even there when she had to pick out bikinis with Michelle. And you know she was just like, this is stupid.
I drove into country for this. Stupid. So then it's now we like sort of like fast forward the next day. And it's time for dinner, and now it's time for Julia and Michelle to meet up. So they sit down, and it's, like, very tense and very awkward. And by the way, I have to commend the producers of this show because they did have a tough, you know, line to toe, you know, with this show, totally keeping it right. And I thought they did a pretty good job of, like, maintaining the gravitas of the situation where it needed to be, you know?
Yeah, just kept it consistent. Like, the waiter comes over, and he's like, well, I'm the captain. So if you need anything, it's like, oh, just like get Julia as terrified as possible.
So it's like very tense. And Julia's like apologizing because she's saying it was a stupid, stupid throwaway comment. And it looked like she was trying to remember flashcards. Like, okay, now I say this, now I say this, and now I look sad.
Then mention the farmhouse because not a lot of people have those.
So, I mean, Julia's off to, like, a measured but solid beginning. Okay, being contrite, saying she didn't mean it, like, she shouldn't
have
said it.
And Michelle is not making it easy, and she shouldn't, you know. No, I'm not saying Michelle's, she should. Right. But she's like, well, why don't I just get started? Because Michelle's just glaring at her with a smile. And she's like, yes, get right to the point. How about that? And just watching her fumble through it. Oh, my God. She's like, I didn't understand the significance. And Michelle's like, how could you not understand the significance of that word? And she's like, yeah. I'm the least racist person ever. I mean, I grew up with Polynesians, Jinx, you know, Mexicans, Spanish people. It's like, oh, God.
About 10 words. Oh, shoot, I'd say it again. No, but she's like, you know, Julia says, she's, first of all, her first mistake is she starts going, you know, I mean, it had nothing to do with ethnicity. I mean, I would have said it to anyone. It didn't have to be you. I could have said it to anyone. It's like, how is that supposed to make her feel better? I would gladly say both N-word. No problem.
Yes, that's the thing. It's like, it's okay in white company to say shit like that. And it's not. Like, you are not getting the significance. It's not just that you hurt her feelings. It's that you think that's okay. Oh, my God.
Exactly. And she's like, you know, I've written 3 children's books about teaching the Maori language, so I just hate the thought that Michelle thinks I'm racist. I'm like, I can't. But you wrote these books, and then you still said that? You still said that? Because here's the thing.
And she can't even do the regular thing where she goes, oh, I have a black friend, because she can't even do that. She's just like, I've known Polynesians before. It's like, wait a minute.
And Michelle's like, well, do you have any black friends now? She's like, but I went to university with black people. Like, do you know any black people now? She's like, I bought a CNC Music Factory tape when I was 19, maybe. But
Aretha Franklin, what a talent.
But I think that, like, I think that Julia's thing, and I'm not going to get too much soapboxy here because we're running long, but I think that Julia's reaction is something that a lot of people, a lot of white people have a similar reaction with, which is that they're like, I'm not racist. I think black people should be treated equally. I think, you know, I don't think there should be discrimination. I'm for black people. I love black people. I have black friends, and I'm like all for equal rights, et cetera. But I think what people don't realize is like when you say something like boat N-word, not understanding the significance of it, maybe it doesn't make you totally, what's the right word? Like actively racist. I mean, the N-word, so probably, yeah. But like, not understanding the significance of it and not understanding how it could be hurtful or whatever, it's ignorance that's tied with racism. And people just, people seem to not be able to understand those cadences where it's like, look, you can't, like, you're being ignorant right now. You're being ignorant. And the fact that you're not willing to accept that you're being ignorant is actually where you start to become more racist. Am I making sense? I feel like, yes, I'm not actually articulating myself, yes, very well. Want to make sure I articulate myself
you're
really
making
well.
You're making sense, but I just want to say, and this could get me in trouble, but I just want to say for the other side that, yeah, what you were saying does make total sense, because it's not necessarily racism. It's literal ignorance. And, yeah, you know, some people are just not taught yet. They haven't been through the whole thing. And it doesn't mean there's necessarily hatred. There is a disregard for other people's feelings or any kind of empathy, which has to be corrected. But, you know, it's being corrected. We are correcting slowly but surely.
I mean, that's the thing, though. That's why, but I think the reason why it like always seems almost condescending is when someone says boat N-word and then says, I'm the least racist person you could meet. It's like, it's probably frustrating, I imagine, because it's like, well, no, don't say that, because you obviously need some work. Like you need to learn. And by you saying that is almost like it, the suggestion is, whether the suggestion is true or not, the suggestion is, I made a dumb joke. It was a stupid joke. I don't need to fix anything else because I'm not racist.
Well,
you know?
she's most afraid of...
And that's the way it comes off. Whether or not that's what she means, that's how it comes off, which is why it's important to be smart about how you articulate yourself, because people will hear things in ways that maybe you don't intend.
I don't think that Michelle ever even called her a racist, did she? I think the thing is that Julia's thinking, well, now everybody's going to think I'm a racist.
Right.
And Michelle's, besides thinking that, maybe she thinks that too, but she probably thinks, like, this girl just has a total disregard for me that she would, and my feelings, that she would think that that's funny, you know?
Right.
So I get it. And, you know, I'm also from a place where we don't look at race the same way just because it's 80% Hispanic. And I grew up with so many Middle Eastern people that we all make fun of each other, and we used to make jokes at each other all the time. Like, I've been a waiter my whole adult life. Like, we all fuck with each other, and they say gay shit to me, and I don't get offended because I'm from a place where, you know, I was at a dinner party in Texas. I've told this story before, but someone said, when are we forgiven? Like, we said we're sorry. Like, how long does it take? And I was just like, oh no. And that's not a mean, awful person. That's just someone was raised in a different time, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Although I mean, did want to stab her with a fork. I was like,
yeah, context is everything. Yeah, I'm just saying that, like, when you say, I'm the least racist person, you know, it's just, it's a frustrating thing to hear, you know? Because it's like, yeah, but, like, you, like, right now, stop talking about what you – stop trying to clear your name and try to, like, understand really why, like – why this was bad, you know? And she knows she did something bad. Well, that's good. She knows she did something bad, and she does want to apologize. She is mortified, and that's all good.
And but, when we all get mad about stuff like this, I think it's really important to realize that, A, we have the right to have feelings, even if it's annoying, no matter who you are, or feel hurt. And B, we can't get so mad that it's watering down what real people who really use that word still and really have the hatred behind it are still out there, you know?
Yeah.
And you don't want to water that down, because the minute you start calling someone like Julia racist, that kind of waters it down. I mean, there was just really bad shit that happened in the country.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think, though, I think that, you know, I think all of it is like, it requires, you know, it requires a patience to have to, it's frustrating from what I gather from talking to black people that I know, since I'm white, from what I gather, it just gets frustrating to have to constantly be educating white people over and over and over again, constantly having to be the level-headed one who holds the white person's hand to explain to them why what they're saying is ignorant or whatever. And like, you know, and at a certain point, you just want to be like, ah, why can't I be mad for once? You know, why can't I be the angry
one? Last year on my birthday, we all went out, and it was your boyfriend and his friends. And it was the day that the Colin Kaepernick stuff happened.
Is that your birthday that day when we did that?
Yeah, you were like, do you want to come out? Yeah, and Angie was there.
You're right,
and we were having a great time. And Angie loves, you know, her Hot Topics. And she said, what did you guys think? Because that had happened that day, I think, or the day before. And I said, I think that he's right. I didn't like when he said, I'm ashamed. He said something like, I'm ashamed of my country, or I can't be proud of my country. And I said, this country has done a lot of shitty things and continues to. And I'm always bitching about it. But that rubbed me the wrong way. And then everybody did school me, but in the kindest way. Because I am that, like, I'm just going to say whatever's on my mind, but I definitely walked away from it with a different perspective. Like, I'm going to think of it like that, because the country didn't do that to me, you know?
Right. Yeah, I mean, well, that's the thing, is that, I mean, that's in the best possible scenario, you know, because we know who you are, and we know, like, we're not saying that what we were saying is right versus wrong, but, like, No one got offended by anything you said, because we know who you are and we understand the context, and we were able to have a discussion and get to, we talked it out from different perspectives, and we had a whole Colin Kaepernick moment, and it was good.
And no one's had to school white people more than like three or four gay black men. I mean, they're like, okay, like, pull out the syllabus, let's go. And they were very kind about it, and they listened to the other side too, because, well, it wasn't the other side, but they listen to a point of view that maybe they don't hear in their social circle or whatever, you know? And I was like, this is good. Like, it's important to not be able to get furious.
Yeah. But I think that honestly, like, considering what Julia said and, you know, how hurt Michelle was, I actually think Michelle was more or less pretty calm at this like apology dinner, though she did start to go off on Julia. And she was like, this is not how you make friends. Saying these things is not how you make friends. So then Julia goes, can you just not lecture me if you don't mind? Which is like, see, this is your problem, Julia. This is your problem. You just want to like apologize, say your apology, and then everything's fine. But you have to be able to, like, you have to face the consequences of what you said. Like, you made this woman like furious and angry, and you hurt her deeply, and you just have to sit there and take it on the chin, girl.
Well, if we've learned one thing in America, it's the right way to say sorry. Because whenever some celebrity gets in trouble, they just have to go out there and be like, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Totally wrong. Like, we've had that experience. Wasn't Real Housewives of Sydney, didn't they have some kind of problem that got too dark to even air it in America?
That was Vancouver, I thought.
I thought there was Sydney, like, something racist that happened on Sydney, and they couldn't. They're not going to air it here because it was just too much.
I think they thought Sydney was just too trashy.
Oh, okay.
Or something like that. But either way, so Julia then tells Michelle, you know, the other girls wouldn't have reacted like you did, which is horrific. And then Michelle was like, well, they weren't called the N-word. So good.
And also, they're not black. It's like, yeah, the people on the boat have never gotten mad. It's like, oh, geez.
Yeah, that's why this whole apology thing, like.
And I like that Michelle, like, was still nice at the end, but she was still holding her crown. She's like, well, thank you for taking my apology. And she's like, I never said I forgave you. She's like, well, ha 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 ha. But thank you for letting me be able to move on.
Yeah.
You know, because I have contacts and my husband's going to kill me if I have to buy another pair.
And Michelle's like, you're going to go home and you're going to watch Roots, 12 Years a Slave? And Julia's like, haha, wait, are you serious? Do I have to watch those movies?
She's like, Precious, that one looks good, but somebody threw a TV. I didn't really like that one. Talk about offensive. Oh, my God.
It was... Yeah, definitely very intense. But I think a helpful episode. I think actually in the end, though, I do actually feel, and I'm hopeful that Julia did learn a lesson, because that's all you want at the end of the day. You want people, if they mess up, you want them to realize what they did was wrong, and that you want them to change and just know, like, don't do it again, and then grow from there.
Well, I know that a lot of people watching the episode probably learned, because they were probably like, what the hell is she this mad about? Because I even had a flicker of that. Like, okay, maybe this is a bit much. And then you know, just think it through. And then people are listening to our episode thinking these guys are just fucking
oversensitive, social liberal.
Justice. Yes, like social justice warrior-ing everything. And I kind of feel like that too in a way, but that's kind of new for me. I'm used to just being able to like spout my opinion as offensively as I can or I feel like, and then just saying it's a joke. So it's new to me to kind of sit around.
I think that there's like, you know, maybe we are being social justice warriors, fine. But I think that really all we're trying to say is, you know, don't hurt people's feelings. Like, you know, like there is a line, obviously, like there are some people are way too sensitive, but there's certain like pretty clear things that you shouldn't say. Like, don't say the N-word. And if you say the N-word, know that you're going to make someone really upset. Like, you'll make a black person really, really upset. And don't then feel like, you know, it's like that you're the victim because you feel bad because you call them. It's like it just doesn't work that way.
I know.
So call us social justice warriors. We are just saying,
but there's
before you speak,
one
if
more
you mess
thing.
Up, think about it.
One more thing. I read a lot of news and conspiracy, but most, you know, news comments with people fighting. And I always think, oh, God, like the white Christian male is always bitching about. Now it's only okay if you can be racist against the white male or whatever, heterosexual male. And I always think, oh, that's so stupid. But you know what? You have a right to have your fucking feelings hurt, too. Like, you have the right to be like, why are people always attacking me? I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. It's not attacking you. You know, it's attacking the way that we treat each other, and we should be treating people. We should all be treating each other right. I mean, there's a lot of comments where people are like, Christianity's fucking stupid and religion's retarded and anybody who believes in that shit is retarded. Yeah. And we're even allowed to make fun of that fairly freely on this show. But that hurts people who really have true, strong faith, you know, and being raised like that and then feeling like, oh, my God. Now people all over the media are mocking me. That's not fair either. And it's not really. And you have the right to bitch about that too and have your feelings heard too. We all do.
And if someone says, you know, this like this really, really upsets me, like it really deeply upsets me. And then if we were to say, oh, sorry, that like don't be like, oh, you're such pussies for giving into it, for being sensitive. No, we're just being courteous, we're being nice. Yeah. We're thinking about the way someone feels most of the time, because we do go after a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm not going to absolve myself of any past sins. I'm just saying, you know, conversationally in real life, just understand we're all different and we're all pissed and we all have a right to be. There's a lot going on that we should all be pissed. And I think this time in our history is where we're kind of in the teenage phase, where we're looking around at everything and being like, "All this is all lies. Everything I've been taught is a lie, and this is a bunch of bullshit being fed to me." And you should feel like that, because it's true. So hopefully, once we all learn that we can't emote, we won't repress shit, and we'll start taking care of business like you do in your 20s, girl.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that's fun. We haven't had a big old serious episode in a long time, huh?
Yeah. And it's good. I like that. I like being able to do that once in a while.
Are you smoking a cigarette out of your door?
Yes, because we keep saying we're going to end it, and then I start going off on something.
You know what? Normally we do Crappin's Mailbag on Fridays, but this felt like one giant mailbag in a sense. So let's just like table the mailbag to next week, because this was like a serious episode, and it's drained me.
Yes, let's go and it's have a glass of champagne.
Let's have some champagne. And Ronnie, I'm going to see you tomorrow at our live show. I can't wait. This is going to be amazing. Oh, and by the way, people, when you come to the live show, be like super amped and scream and be crazy, because we think there may be some important people in the audience. We want to really impress them. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Glad you didn't tell me who they are.
Yeah, well, I told you who they are. It's not like celebrities. It's just like, you know, people who write People like media people, you know.
If they're important people, I'll negate everything I just said.
Like, hey, welcome to our podcast. Did you hear our episode about the N-word yesterday?
Oh, great my stuff. God. Thank great God content. We didn't save this for a live show. Could you imagine?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Okay, everybody. We will see you later. Thanks so much for being with us and for letting us have a day like this every once in a while. We sure love you. We'll see you tomorrow, some of you.
Bye, everyone.